So how should the U.S. respond? Well, Richard Clark, a former counterterrorism advisor to several U.S. presidents, says very carefully. He's written about it in today's Washington Post, and he joins me on the line from his home in Virginia. Richard Clark, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Guy.
Now, we just heard that clip from Secretary Clinton talking about severe consequences. Say that means airstrikes. I mean, could those have a significant impact on the group's ability to attempt something like this again?
Well, we have been carrying out airstrikes in Pakistan using the Predator drones, and I think they have had a lot of effect on keeping these groups on the run. We know that this particular wannabe attacker in Times Square didn't spend much time getting trained in Pakistan, perhaps because there aren't any good camps that they can spend much time in. They're afraid if they have any establishment there for any period of time, it'll be blown up.
Now, you write that in situations like the Times Square attempt or the Christmas Day bombing attempt to take down an airliner, that these sort of amateurish attacks are almost impossible to stop. Why?
Well, because they're spontaneous. These aren't cells that are created in some camp in Pakistan. They're not people who are in constant communications back to some central command. They're people living in the United States, often American citizens, or living in the United Kingdom and British citizens, that suddenly decide they have had enough and they have to act. They reach out, they get trained a little, perhaps, and they throw away their American life or their British life in order to retaliate against the system that they think is anti-Islamic.
So does it mean that we should sort of accept that it is inevitable that one of these attacks will eventually be successful? There will be an attack here in the U.S.
Well, we shouldn't give up trying to stop it. We should do everything we can to stop these things. But the chances are that there will be successful attacks. And when they occur, we should not panic. We should not overreact. And we shouldn't assume that everything that we've been doing has failed. You're never going to get a counterterrorism program that is so good that it stops every attack. And we may be doing good things, and we may throw that out in some massive reevaluation after an attack.
Richard Clark is a former counterterrorism advisor. Do you suspect that your colleagues, your former colleagues, who are still working for the government now, are deeply concerned about the fact that this Times Square bombing attempt was at the hands of an American citizen?
Oh, I think they are, absolutely, because they've been looking for some time now at the possibility of American citizens flipping and becoming Islamist terrorists. That's what happened at Fort Hood, of course, with a member of the U.S. military. And these people are much harder to find in advance of the attack.
You write that one of the things that President Obama might consider doing, if there were an attack like this, would be to reach out to the Muslim world. But you suspect he would never do that for political reasons.
Well, I think the most effective thing we can do long-term to deal with this problem is to fight what the 9/11 Commission called the Battle of Ideas, to struggle inside the Islamic world with those who are opposed to moderation. Now, that sort of intellectual and ideological dialogue is not something the U.S. government can do overtly, but we can help other people do it. And that's going to be much more productive in the long term because we cannot kill or capture every one of these people.
If you were at the White House today advising President Obama and say there was a significant terror attack in the U.S., how would you advise him to withstand the immense pressure that he would be under to respond to that attack militarily?
Well, I think it depends on where the attack comes from and what military options exist. There could be a situation where there's a camp somewhere, a terrorist camp in Somalia or Yemen, where an attack originated, and perhaps that would be an appropriate target for a military strike. But what we've seen in Iraq, what we've seen in Pakistan, what we've seen in Afghanistan, is that sometimes the involvement of U.S. military forces in large numbers and without precision actually causes more people to become terrorists.
That's Richard Clark, former counterterrorism advisor to the White House. Richard Clark, thank you so much.
Thank you, Guy.